You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Now back to more of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Hopefully your Monday is going well so far. A lovely sunny day in most of Wisconsin. Going to be a little cool on the cool side, though. We saw those warmer temperatures last week, a whole lot of rain. We're going to keep things in the 40s and maybe the low 50s for a good portion of this week. But hey, it's not snowing. There's no ice to talk about. So we'll take what we can get from Mother Nature at this time of the year. I am Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Good morning. Things escalating in the Middle East. We don't know what. There was a cryptic tweet from the president last night. Not the tweet that we're going to talk about in a little bit. But one that just said Tuesday, 8 o'clock Eastern time. So we don't know what's going on. But let's look at some headlines from the region. The head of intelligence for Iran's paramilitary Revolutionary Guard, Major General Mahid Kademi, was killed, according to Iranian state media. Israel claimed the killing Monday. Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz said, quote, "Iran's leaders live with a sense of being targeted. We will continue to hunt them down one by one." I've been curious. I have not heard. Now, our president is, of course, saying that the war could end in 2 weeks, three
sure.
weeks. You don't hear much from Netanyahu.
No.
They're not, making any predictions.
Why would you have to? I mean, essentially at this point, if you're watching this from the outside, it seems like Netanyahu drugged the United States into this conflict, which
yes.
is now looks like a war. And now the president is essentially taking care of a majority of what Netanyahu thought he was maybe going to have to do. I mean, it feels a little bit like there was some sort of like a dupe happened, right? Like the president got duped just a little bit into this war.
It wasn't very hard.
At any rate, in other headlines, Israel and the United States carried out a wave of attacks on Iran earlier today, killing more than 25 people. Iran responded with missile fire on Israel and its Gulf Arab neighbors.
Trump's deadline for Tehran to reopen the Strait of Hormuz is looming. Trump gave Tehran a deadline that expires tonight, Washington time, saying if no deal was reached to reopen the strait, the U.S. would hit Iran's power plants and other infrastructure targets and set the country, quote, back to the Stone Ages. Now, it's going to be interesting as we follow what is going to happen this week, and I think it's not going to be a great week. But when you start targeting and come right out and say you're going to target civilian infrastructure, that is a war crime. We'll see what happens. We'll see if, and I doubt Congress will grow a backbone on a number of things, which we'll get into. But
many times can we have the president of the United States put posts out like this and talk about these things in such
apparently, Jamie.
And nobody... And everybody pushes back saying, well, it's just a tweet. He didn't actually mean it. How many times can we allow that to continue to happen before somebody takes it seriously? And we'll get into more of that discussion here in just a few minutes.
That's the first thing on stuff you need to know.
Yes.
So
so we'll get there. We'll get there. In other headlines, Egyptian, Pakistani, and Turkish mediators have sent Iran and the U.S. a proposal calling for a 45-day ceasefire and the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz to give time to find a way to end the war. That's according to two Mideast officials and what they have told the Associated Press. Iran and the United States have not responded to this proposal.
And finally, the death toll from the war has risen to more than 1,900 people in Iran and over 1,200 people in Lebanon. Iran's government has not updated the toll for days. In Gulf Arab states and the occupied West Bank, more than two dozen people have died, while 19 have been reported dead in Israel and 13 U.S. service members have been killed. So those are the headlines coming out of the Middle East. Now, Parker, there is a lot more stuff we need to know.
It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
All right, well, we've been alluding to it. We've been dancing around it, but let's get into it. The president yesterday threatened to bomb Iran's power plants and bridges by Tuesday if Tehran does not reopen the Strait of Hormuz, posting an expletive-laden message on Truth Social that escalated the war of words ahead of a fast-approaching deadline. This is the post. Tuesday will be power plant day and bridge day, all wrapped up in one in Iran. There will be nothing like it, 3 exclamation points. Open the effing strait, you crazy... Can I say bastards? I think I just did. You will be living in hell. All caps, just watch. Then he threw in, praise be to Allah, President Donald J. Trump. To say this is outrageous, to say I was shocked by this, is an understatement. And I think every rational human being, not just Americans, but rational human being. Jamie, do you remember a time when you've worked in news a long time, we've both been on the radio a long time, when you couldn't directly quote the president?
No.
Like, the president would put out a statement that we had to redact certain words?
No.
And we had to... Never.
No.
Never. This is a man who has lost touch with reality. To put this out, this is your diplomacy? This is how it goes? I've never been more embarrassed of... an administration in my life.
Here's the question that I had when I saw this, first and foremost. If you are somebody who voted for President Trump, and I'm not judging you on your vote. We all have the right to vote for whoever we want. But if you voted for him because of his Christian values, right? he posted this tweet on Easter morning.
Easter Sunday.
Easter Sunday, full of profanity. And then ends with praise Allah? How does that sit with you? If you voted for this man because of the Christian values, because of the Republicans, because whatever the reason was, how does that legitimately sit with you when this is what he is putting on his personal social media?
But I have to question, and I know, listen, I don't want to, pardon me, I don't blame Trump voters for his action.
No.
But I do have to say, if you're hiding behind, I voted for this man because of his Christian values, you weren't paying attention to the 34 indictments. You weren't paying attention to his track record. But then you can't say I voted for him because he's a Christian, because you've completely invalidated your point, because you voted for a man who is clearly not mm-hmm. driven by Christian values, and again, who will hold a Bible upside down, says, you know, cannot give a Bible verse because the whole book is his favorite. There's nothing in his past that indicated that he truly lived by the values that he preached. He found a way to convince the Christian nationalists that he was behind them, that he was one of them, and they fell for it. So I'm sorry. Listen, if people are changing their mind, that's great. I don't mean to throw shade, but let's not sugarcoat it. Because the problem is we've all made this too normal.
Yes.
This
we can't
should
normalize
cause
this.
Unbelievable outrage. It should get things started to roll with
right.
maybe removing a man from office. That we're going to do a civics lesson
yeah.
on the 25th Amendment. There was a lot of calls for this. But just from a very personal level, if you are a devout Christian, on the holiest day of your calendar,
yeah.
your president does this?
Yeah.
How can you still support that?
I think it's mind-boggling, and I think back to, this was a conversation we had in our house yesterday, being from South Dakota, I've seen very much of those devout Christians. I have friends who are very much devout Christians, and I think it would be interesting, and I actually want to have a discussion with them. I have to figure out the right way to approach it, because I know they voted for Donald Trump, and I know mm-hmm. that they're not okay with this type of language, and I know they wouldn't be okay with praise Allah, and I really do have to figure out the way to have that conversation with them to see how they are feeling after something like this. Or maybe they're just not even paying attention and they don't care. I mean, there could be too, but this isn't
that's
leadership.
Just Trump being Trump, Jamie.
Exactly. But it's not leadership.
It's
here's the thing. who is going to finally hold this man accountable? If you're looking at here in Wisconsin, where is Ron Johnson? Where is Glenn Grothman? Where is Derek Van Orde? Scott Fitzgerald, Tony Weed, Tom Tiffany? Where are they? Because if they actually think that this is acceptable, then we need to rethink who our leaders in Washington are, not just from the president, but all the way down.
They are cowering like they always have. Lindsey Graham came out and said he is deadly serious when it comes to his ultimatum to Iran to open the Strait of Hormuz or face massive military response against vital infrastructure. If you need me, I'll be at Disney World holding a wand. What? No, that can't be. That couldn't be in there. Iran, of course, responded with defiance. And Mizan, which is an outlet affiliated with Iran's judiciary, said Trump's expletive-laden post had insulted Iranians with vile language, adding that Iran's steadfastness and resistance have driven Trump to the brink of madness, which does seem... you can almost hear the frustrated screaming craziness go, you just do it, you better open it.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, dude... This is not how we do things.
It turns
this
out.
It's not how you get any stuff done.
It turns out just because you tweet it, because you put it on Truth Social, doesn't mean that that's diplomacy or it's actually people are going to actually follow through. And it turns out that maybe, just maybe, you miscalculated Iran and what they were actually capable of doing in the Middle East. We've got some texts rolling in. Lynn says maybe his account was hacked by the Iranians. Yeah. Well, you never know.
He in cash could be.
Yeah. And Len also chiming in this morning. The president is a reflection of its support, and the support is a reflection of its president. If you do want to comment this morning, 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC.
Let's get to the one big piece of good news, though, that came out of the Middle East over the weekend. The pilot or the serviceman who was shot down, the second of this plane, was found. I'm glad the president tweeted this. We got him. Over the last several hours, the United States military pulled off one of the most daring search and rescue operations in U.S. history. I am thrilled to let you know our missing airman is now safe and sound. This type of raid is seldom attempted because of the dangers to man and equipment. It just doesn't happen. That was a post yesterday morning, and it is. It was really good news because... the pilot of this F-15 that was shot down, the pilot was found immediately, but the weapons operator was missing. He made it into the mountains. Some reports say all he had to defend himself was a pistol. The Iranians were coming in close. The CIA had mounted some deceptive missions in the area, saying that he had been rescued already in hopes that to lure the Iranians away from him. And this weapons system officer... stayed alive and stayed hidden long enough for this huge hundreds of people and hundreds of different personnel to effect this rescue deep inside Iran. So we got to give kudos and say this was great news.
Yes, it was great news. And let's be realistic. What we saw happen there is actual courage and actual sacrifice by the military members of this country because they've been pulled into this war by the president. But anytime you see a story like that, and when it involves your military, there is that sense of happiness, pride, relief all at the same time.
Yeah. So great job to all the men and women responsible for that rescue, and glad that these two pilots and two soldiers are back. So that's good. We'll lighten it up for a few minutes, I guess. Swiper Stay is next. So hang around. It's Daybreak.
7:19 right now. You are listening to the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
7:22 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Civic Media Network. This is where we put the politics aside for a few minutes. We don't talk about the president tweeting. And we actually talk about some other headlines, or do we? I don't know. I'm watching Frank's face right now.
We're not going to talk about the president, and praise be to Allah and all that stuff.
Good. All right, good.
As one, as
seven
a president
minutes.
Normally does. No,
as one
we're,
does.
We're not gonna
on Easter.
We're not gonna talk about him for
well,
this.
What are we
on
going
Easter.
To do?
Okay,
let's
we're
not
gonna,
tell what
here's
we're not
how
gonna
this
do.
Is gonna work. If yeah. you're new to the show, I'm gonna read some pop culture headlines that Brian and Jamie may or may not know about, and they're gonna decide whether they want to hear more of the story or if they want to swipe right on to the next one.
Okay.
In the case that they can't make up their minds, producer Parker will be our tiebreaker. So let's move on to story number one. We have a sexual harassment suit dropped against a celebrity.
Ooh.
I'm always up for a good sexual harassment.
Yeah.
Oh, suit. A story about a suit.
I'll
frown
Jamie,
I'll stay.
Jamie, can you make sure Brian takes the training with HR?
Okay. Yep, got it.
So, why can't I tell her she's pretty?
Here's the deal. I can't believe I have now talked about this story across two states and multiple stations over a few years now.
Oh my God.
Let us all hope it's almost over. A judge just dismissed 10 of Blake Lively's 13 complaints against former co-star and director Justin Baldoni, including a sexual harassment accusation. Here's what's left. Her accusations of retaliation, breach of contract, and aiding and abetting retaliation for a jury trial. The trial is set for May 18th. Now, here's the real question.
Yes.
Are we going to be able to watch this like the Johnny Depp Amber Heard
God,
trial?
God, I
because
hope so.
That was the greatest thing on
that
television.
That was fantastic.
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
I got stung by a bee. Oof. It was the greatest thing ever. The whole thing was just so bizarre.
It was.
So quotable, the mega pints of wine.
Yeah.
She did what in the bet? The whole thing was just great.
All right, well.
Camila
yeah,
Mendez,
I can't believe
never
this,
forget.
Can't believe this Blake Lively thing is still going on.
Well, here we are. How many? How long has this been going on? How many years?
I think three.
Oh, my gosh. The movie wasn't
I
even
think
that
three
great.
3 years. It was. Thank you for that, Jamie.
You're welcome.
That's all you need to know about this one. We have a pop star that has announced their long-anticipated third album.
A swipe.
Swipe.
Oh, okay. World-renowned athlete names Milwaukee as a city he doesn't like to play in.
Ooh.
Well, screw him. Let's see. Yeah,
stay.
Oh, boy.
Parker already knows it.
This is
any
scared.
Guesses from you two? Who
Giannis?
The star athlete is?
I was just going to say Giannis.
Not, it is not Giannis. Giannis is saying the money is green and it is good.
He's not
Giannis
happy, though.
Saying,
he's not happy. Milwaukee, oh, gosh. Milwaukee.
Oh, I hope he gets Charles Barkley. He hates everywhere. Fat women in San Antonio. It's terrible. Terrible.
He loves Milwaukee, the women terrible. In Milwaukee. Jamie, any guesses?
I have no idea. No idea.
Everybody's favorite player, LeBron James, says he doesn't like playing in two cities while he was on a podcast that released last week. Those cities being Memphis and Milwaukee.
41 years old. It's two cities I do not like playing in right now. And that's Milwaukee and that's Memphis. What is your problem? I don't like going home either.
So he doubled down. And he threw Cleveland in there,
yeah,
his hometown.
Sure.
What's his problem with him?
So what's his issue is he doesn't like the travel to those
where?
Cities, and he doesn't like the lodging.
But where?
Where do they put up the traveling players? The
probably
the Hyatt.
Oh, the Hyatt. Not
he
the
said
hotel.
The he said, do you think I want to go stay at a Hyatt in Milwaukee on a Tuesday?
Then maybe you need a new career. Wow. Might be time to retire.
Wow. Where do they usually put players? The Hyatt's pretty nice.
Look, man.
Wow.
I don't know. You're Camper. LeBron. Like you said, he's 41 years old.
Maybe he needs special beds now because he's getting up there in age.
Are you surprised, though?
No.
It's LeBron James.
No, not at all.
No, but it's, yeah, there's no, okay. Next story. There's no whatever.
Yeah.
Celebrity couple welcomes their first child.
I'm going to
swipe.
Brian and Jamie said, forget them, kids. We're moving on to the next one. That's a nice way of saying it.
I want something torrid, Frank.
That's right. Something juicier.
Well, we've come to our last story. So we have a big spender that is pulling their sponsorship from a UK festival over an artist booking.
I feel like since we have 2 minutes, we better say stay.
I'm going to stay.
You should say stay.
Okay.
So Pepsi has decided to pull out as a main sponsor for Wireless Festival in the United Kingdom. A spokesperson for Pepsi, which has been a long-standing partner and headline sponsor of the festival for several years, wrote in a statement, Pepsi has decided to withdraw its sponsorship of Wireless Festival. The beverage company didn't share details on its reason for pulling its sponsorship. However, the decision came right after Kanye West was booked to headline for 3 days.
Really?
3 whole days of Kanye.
Is Kanye a Coke person? Coca-Cola, not...
Of a swastika person.
Listen, Pepsi very anti-fascist, and I prefer Pepsi to Coke. That's a hot take that I will not take back.
Is Kanye going to come on stage like he did that one year on SNL dressed as a water bottle? Is that what
we can only hope.
Okay, all right.
3 days of Kanye. That sounds like Five Nights at Freddy, another horror movie.
Basically.
3 days of Kanye.
But he has in recent months come out and say that his mental health is the reason he was all for being a Nazi and all this stuff and sold swastika t-shirts.
They tried that at Nuremberg,
website.
Frank.
In
that,
fact,
that
it was the
work.
Only shirt he sold on his website for a period of time. But yeah, the saga continues.
Wow.
The hardcore Yay fans are going to go, but Pepsi will not be one of them. That's Swiper Stay.
Wow. Thank you, Frank. Always
You're welcome.
A pleasure. Always interesting stuff. You know, I got a kudos to Pepsi disassociating from Nazis. I like that. When we come back, could Kamala's time be past? See why we're positing that question. It's Daybreak. This is the Civic Media.
Across the state of Wisconsin, Daybreak with Brian and Jamie is back.
Good morning, and thank you so much for having us on today. You are listening to the Civic Media Network. It's 7:35 right now. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. 855-75-CIVIC is our number. Is Kamala Harris's time past? And if so, we already know we don't have one yet. Who should be the Democratic nominee for president? I know it's a couple years away, but it's never too early to think about a new regime. The reason this came up is because Kamala Harris is going to be in New York on Friday at the National Action Network's 35th anniversary convention. This move is sure to spark some more speculation, which has been ongoing, that she is going to run again for president in 2028. You feel one way or another about it, but it's a gathering hosted by civil rights organization founder Al Sharpton. It's going to give the former vice president and other potential Democratic presidential contenders an opportunity to speak directly to an influential gathering of Black leadership and activists who play a key part in getting the party rolling. So there was in the things I was reading, there was a veteran strategist who said... And this strategist is within Kamala Harris's orbit, as they like to say. The only signal that is very clear is that she is going to continue to be incredibly important fighting force and voice for Democrats for the country. She's been out of the headlines, which you don't really hear about her, but then her book, you know, she goes on the tour. She didn't run for governor of California, which people thought she was going to do. So that was like, okay. And she's been very critical of the war in Iran. Recently, she said he brought America into a war that people don't want, and he's put American troops in harm's way. Costs are rising by the day. And meanwhile, he has done nothing to address the needs of the American people. So, Jamie, she came very close.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she's been working on her laugh. Her laugh, very annoying to a lot of people. But what do you think? Is her time past? Should she step aside? Or because most of what she campaigned on and said was going to happen
has happened,
is she being proven a visionary? And maybe this time people can use their heads and go, we don't care how a person laughs. They didn't swear at another country during a war.
Right. This is true. here's what I'm going to say about this. I spent most of 2024 covering Kamala Harris for this network. Numerous stops across the great state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, she was all over Wisconsin.
She was. And also spent a lot of time covering the Trump campaign as well. She's dynamic. She's energetic. She's super smart. And let me be clear, when I give this opinion, this isn't cold feet because she lost last time. I think she's more than qualified. I thought Hillary was more than qualified to be president. I don't believe she should. And mostly because this country is not ready for a woman president. I don't care how bad
how
this
administration. How long are we going to say that, though?
But they're not. And I don't care how bad this administration is. I don't care how bad this administration is. Voters are not, at this point, men and women are not going to vote for a woman quite yet. We're not there yet.
But the old argument used to be that women were too emotional to be. Well, we've got a big baby man in there now.
He was the first go-around.
Listen, I've dealt with a lot of women. There couldn't be a woman more emotional than what we have in the Oval Office
Agreed.
Right now.
Agreed. I absolutely agree. But at the end of the day, I think it's still the fact that people in this country think that a man is more adept at running this country than a woman was. And that's a shame. And I don't say that lightly, because I hope that someday there is a woman president. I would be so ecstatic if we had a woman president. But for a lot of this country, being qualified, being more than qualified, is not enough. In fact, it's seen as a detriment, because then they think, oh, she knows too much, or she
smarty pants.
Yes. I mean, it's a total double standard that we see in this country, especially when we see this president, or we've seen other male candidates on both sides of the aisle try to vie for the office as well.
855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Do you agree with Jamie? Are we not ready in 2026, and now it'll be 2028 for the election? Are we really still that backwards that we don't think a woman could do the job? Then who should? So we'd like to hear from you. But you make a sad point. And I'm not saying that your point is wrong. I'm just saying I can't believe it at this point. And listen, as a guy who's seen nothing but male presidents, some have done good, some have done bad. There's a point where it's like, you gotta try something different.
Yeah.
Because electing really old guys is dumb.
Yeah. It doesn't get us anywhere.
We're also not, I don't think, if we go with your point and your contention that we're not ready for a woman, we're also not ready for young presidents.
No.
Like, oh, there's such a big, when Obama and Clinton were elected, they're too young. And then there's Pete Buttigieg. Well, he's too young. And he's gay. We can't have that either. So, you know, what are we, and then we complain. We complain, oh, all we get is the same thing. Well, you have been offered options, America. Yeah. You have chosen not to take them. So you get what you deserve, and you get what you claim you're tired of, but you vote for them again. So then it's our fault. At first I was on board with Kamala running again, and I know it would be a hard sell. You could spin it that she only had a very short time to campaign, and look how well she did in the campaign. In that short amount of time, you could argue that yes, everything is that she said was going to happen happened. She was the one who was going to send your kids to war.
Mm-hmm.
No, she was the one who was going to raise prices. She was the one who was going to raise gas. Everything. Everything was going to be bad with her. Everything they claimed was going to happen with her has happened with Trump, and it's not good. But I don't say no because of the woman thing. I say no because she's damaged goods,
yeah,
basically. And the Democrats are so fickle in how we choose to support candidates. the fact that she already lost once is going to disqualify her in some Democratic,
yes,
voters' minds, because they are still searching for the perfect
Well,
candidate.
Look what they did to Hillary. Hillary was also seen as damaged goods based on her right. track record as Secretary of State. All of the things that we found out were not actually illegal, or she had maybe misconstrued a little bit, but weren't illegal. She wasn't actually breaking laws, and Democratic voters could not handle it. And I think when you start ignoring the reality of that, and when you start ignoring the reality of where a majority of this country still is. I mean, let's talk about the young male voters. They swung to Trump in 2024. Like,
Parker.
I mean, like you wouldn't believe. I don't have the stats in front of me right now, but it was a huge swing. It was a huge swing. That tells me right there that there is a huge swath of this country that is still not ready, no matter how bad this president is. And if you start being that fickle and you don't look at those things, you're going to lose elections. And that's what the Democrats right. have done. Now, I think the other piece of this is you're going to, at some point, have to be able to sway some of those rural voters who are a little on the fence about this particular administration. Kamala Harris isn't going to do that. Gavin Newsom isn't going to do that just being from California, because I know he's a name that people like to keep throwing out there
right now.
I don't know.
All right, if you're
That's
a rural
the scary
voter,
part.
Yeah, who is there? Because you run down the list. All right, Hakeem Jeffries. Well, probably not for rural voters.
No. Nope.
Anybody from a coast.
Yeah.
And rural voters. If you're in a rural market and you're listening, please set me straight if I'm off base.
Yeah.
But I don't think, there'll be anybody from the coast is going to be viewed as an elitist, mm-hmm. Out of touch. Who from the Midwest? Well, J.B. Pritzker is being thrown about as a possible contender. But is he too? Well, yeah. Illinois has a lot of problems with taxes and da 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 da.
Sure.
And
he's also seen as
a
billionaire.
Yes,
he's a billionaire. So,
And then you go, okay. Well, then we are. Well, no. Then we got to rule out any other female candidate
right.
because if we're going by
yep.
That. So who's left?
I don't know. That's the
Bernie
part.
Again.
That's
please. Bernie is damaged goods. He's 106, and as much as I admire Bernie Sanders on some of his stuff, stay out of it this
yeah.
time, Bernie. Just endorse somebody.
Yes.
Get behind somebody and endorse them, and don't muddy the waters. You've lost enough.
Right. I feel
you're good in the Senate. You're great in the Senate.
Yes.
Stay in the Senate.
Oh, I totally agree. I also
we'll bring him back.
Well,
resurrect
him. Al Franken, as it turns out, wasn't actually guilty of much either.
Oh, please, nothing. if we go with the Republican plan, would the Democrats be behind a female candidate if she was a reality star?
Yeah.
Maybe we get one of the Real Housewives. Maybe we get a contestant from Temptation Island. Would that make Democrats happy?
We've got a caller on the phone lines right now. We've got Cole from Sun Prairie who wants to weigh in on this conversation.
Yeah.
Good morning, Cole. So what are your thoughts? Kamala Harris again or no?
Hey, good morning. I agree with most of what you're saying on the air here. I don't think she should run again. It sucks because, yes, it'd be great to have a woman president. You know, it sucks that we have to premise these statements with, you know, I voted for Hillary, I voted for Kamala. But the truth is, like you said, the country, I don't even know if it's that the country isn't ready for it. It's more of like we need to read the room, see where we're at in the current political climate, and who is going to be able to deal with that. And what are we dealing with? We're dealing with people who are trying to destroy our government. And so it's not just enough, I don't think, to talk about, you know, housing for people. Like, yes, that's all very important, and we need somebody that's going to take care of that kind of stuff. But at this point, we need somebody that's going to be a bulldog mm-hmm. and fight back with everything that they've got mm-hmm. to push Congress to enact legislation that's going to codify all of these niceties that the country has been sitting on for centuries, so that we actually have guardrails that can be enforced on something like this in the future. And I think that people want that. And if we don't see somebody with the gusto, with the fight, with the rhetoric that gets us moving in that direction for 2028, I don't know that anybody's going to stand much of a chance, because it's not enough to just say, oh, I'm not Trump, I'm not Republican.
Right.
Yes, that works.
No, you can't
but
do
we
that
know we
anymore.
Need independence, right?
Yep.
And independence, they don't pay enough attention to all that stuff. You know, they're right or wrong. In 2024, they were listening to what's my paycheck,
yep.
You know, gas prices, blah, 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 blah. That's what they're focusing on. And so we got to have somebody that's going to be very aggressive. And I don't think Kamala gets that done.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you for the call. Jolene brings up, she's listening on WMDX in Madison. She says Mark Kelly and Frank and Poinette said we lost ground because of old white men. Most people I run into are lucky they know who their governor is. Dems will screw it up and have 20 candidates, just like they're doing here in Wisconsin.
With the primary for governor.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Hey, let's have a few lighthearted animal stories.
Oh,
just to cleanse our palate, shall we?
Love that.
We'll do that next. It's Daybreak on the Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Fairly solid, better than expected. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:52 right now. We hope that your morning is going well so far. And oh my goodness, Brian, we're about to talk about animals. So I think it's going very well on a Monday.
Yes. Well, I figured, you know, we got to balance out all the craziness with a little fun. And this is an homage to a great radio legend, Larry Lujack, who was a top 40 guy on WLS, which was heard all over the country. And he had animal stories. And I happened to be looking through and I saw an animal story that came from Wisconsin. And I thought, oh, that'll be fun. And then I saw another cat story.
Ooh.
And I thought, oh, that'll be fun. And I was going for the trifecta, but I didn't have a third cat story.
That's
but
okay.
We do have another story. So we'll see what
does
we got.
Does this piggyback off of Chesney, our little kangaroo from Decida who got out? We,
yes,
we love good animal
we
stories.
Love finding out about, you know, Chesney's return.
Yes.
And who doesn't love animals?
They're fantastic.
If you don't like animals, you're soulless. You're soulless. Well, let's start with this one. Well, I'll let you pick, Jamie. Do you want Wisconsin or do you want New York?
Oh, I
want
to do Wisconsin because this
is
a great story. I love this. So this is about a stuck little kitten and firefighters who did a really great thing. They had to respond to a home where this little tiny kitten was stuck inside the family's radiator. And in fact, the Green Bay Metro Fire Department had to go to social media and say that Truck 2 was dispatched to this home where a young kitten was reported to be stuck. They said, quote, "We're happy to report that this little guy was safely removed without injury and joyfully reunited with his owners." The department said firefighters are always proud to help our furry friends in need. Out of all of the things our firefighters could be doing, the fact that they took time out of their day to go help a stuck kitten is pretty darn awesome. I love that.
I thought that was just, you know, an old stereotype, the firefighters saving a cat from a tree.
No.
So that was Wisconsin. Cats are getting into all sorts of trouble. They're rascals everywhere they go. Firefighters in New York came to the rescue of a cat that spent 2 days trapped inside the wall of a home's basement. This was the Springville Volunteer Fire Department. They responded to Jessica Talent's home during the weekend when she discovered Freya, a 5-year-old cat belonging to her mother, was inside the basement wall. And not a, you know, this was not a weird serial killer kind of thing. She said she had been cat sitting for Freya for a few days when the feline vanished. And she later realized the cat was inside the walls. She got some pictures while firefighters worked to locate and free the cat. We did try a thermal imaging camera, and it would not pick up the small amount of body heat from a small cat. So we found out where it was, isolated a small area of drywall to be cut so we wouldn't ruin the person's whole wall, and it worked. Once we got her out of there, another one of our firemen got in there and grabbed the cat out. That's according to Second Assistant Fire Chief Phil Drozard. He told the local TV station. So, man, who would have thought? Two firemen saving cat stories. That's just, that. It makes you feel good. And good for you, fire departments, even volunteer fire departments, for getting in there. And I love that they use thermal imaging.
Right.
They used a whole thing.
They were
thing.
Doing
Instead
everything
of just going
could.
In, yeah, just
sledging
destroying
and
somebody's
sledging
basement.
The wall.
Yeah, you want the cat out? We'll get the cat out.
Here's why I also I do like cats, but here's why I will always be a dog person, simply because I never have to guess where Aspie's at. She's always going to be wherever I'm at, or she's going to be in the middle of the rug, and I'm going to trip over the top of her, and it's going to be perfectly fine. I never have to worry about her getting stuck in a wall somewhere.
No, cats are, you know, this is what you get for being an independent, you know, cats think they're above everything.
Yes.
Yeah, you're cool till you get stuck in a wall.
I'm convinced that cats want all humans to die. That's how they look at us. Like, we are only here because to inconvenience them. That is the look that I get from most cats.
They're so ungrateful. Cats have zero dogs. And yes, I need that affirmation.
I do
that
too.
A dog gives me. I need the affirmation that they're grateful that I feed them.
Yes.
That they're happy to see me when I come in. I don't want the equivalent of a middle finger.
Right.
That I still have to clean its poop out of a box.
Right.
You don't get to flip me off if I'm picking up your clumps.
Right. Agreed.
The last one, we got to talk about a renegade emu, Jamie, because why wouldn't you?
I
know people tuning in this morning are like, you're going to talk about Trump? But we got animal control deputies in Virginia responded to an unusual situation. They were called to wrangle a renegade emu, and that is not a euphemism. The Powhatan Sheriff's Office said on social media that animal control officers were dispatched when the emu was spotted wandering loose. Just hanging out, walking around. Deputies used crime scene tape to create a movable fence to keep the emu contained. You got to give it up to these deputies.
That's good thought process.
Right? That's very creative.
Yeah.
The big bird named Possum was loaded into his owner's trailer and transported home safely.
How did it get loose? I have so many questions. Why did they have an emu? What happened?
No reports on the emu, just how it got loose. We don't know if it was a Chesney situation and dogs scared it.
We don't know
if it was just Emu's Day Out, which is going to be a great movie, voiced
by
probably Jack Black.
Good kid's book.
Yeah, it'll be a good kid's book. Emu's Day Out. Possum was an emu who lived on a farm. One day, Possum had just about enough of farm life and decided it was time to go to the big city.
But
how would Possum get there? He didn't have a ride.
You could envision it. Kids would go crazy. You would have little emus that you could sell to go along with the book. It's a whole marketing
thing.
Impressed will get
that
into
they
the whole thing.
Got the emu. Emus are tanks.
Yeah, they're not small birds, and they move quickly.
No.
They're not exactly friendly, Parker.
And this is a weird thing I'm aware of. There was a war against emus in Australia.
Wait, what?
What?
Yes.
What?
Oh, is this new to you?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. You got a minute. Spill the beans.
I don't remember when it was. It was probably in the 80s or so. There was a war against emus in Australia because the population was too large.
Oh.
And they're and they're massive animals.
Yes.
So it takes a lot of bullets to kill an emu. They gave up because they couldn't
Was it just survival of the fittest? The emus just handled themselves from there?
The emus were just fine.
Can we not gloss over Parker's statement? It takes a lot of bullets to kill an emu. Can we not just let that go? Like, how do you know, Parker?
Australia lost the war to emus.
All right. Wow. Okay.
Turns out the U.S.
If you learn nothing else from this show, take away that it takes a lot of bullets to kill an emu.
This is
true. Happy Monday.
Also, turns out the U.S. is losing a war in Iran. We'll get to that.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.